So I pull up, and then on the left-hand side is really nice townhouses. On the right-hand side is a bunch of tents. So I'm like, so yeah, here you are. I was looking to the left, and she was looking to the right. She's like, this is me here. This is me here. I'm like, oh, okay, nice. Wait, hang on. She had a big ass tent. Let me tell you, like, it's like, and then you walk in on the right-hand side, she has a little dresser. She has a queen-size bed. On the left side, she had
Wow, this is a
another.
big ass tent.
Yeah, it's like a 12 by 12 tent, literally. And then she had like a small table on the left-hand side where like I think it looks like she had a lamp there, LED lamp, and then a kitchenette area-ish, kind of a gas stove thing, whatever you call it. And that's pretty much really it. That's all she needed it. And I asked her what's the rest of the stuff. He's like, oh yeah, parked in my car. So she goes to the car to get clothes in the trunk. She drives a BMW. And so her BMW is 2 blocks from the tent.
Wow.
Hey there. Welcome to the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast, where you are encouraged to express your natural thoughts and views through casual, meaningful conversations that hopefully can lead to learning and understanding new perspectives. To find out more info, visit www.gfothoughts.com. Now, here are your hosts, Michael Wong and Robert Din. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of Gluten Free Organic Thought Podcast. My name is Michael, and always with me, Robert Din.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. Happy Halloween. Today
Happy
is a
Halloween. That's
very
right.
special podcast for you. You're all dressed up for anyone who's listening on
Watching
Apple.
us too. They need to watch us on
No,
YouTube,
but
see what we look
I'm
like.
telling them, if anyone's who's listening, you need to switch over to YouTube so you can see our
Yep.
costume. Yeah, we'll start off with that. Like, Mike, what's your costume today?
I am wearing a giraffe costume. You can see my
Oh, yeah, I
little
see.
giraffe antennas. I have the scales in the back too, my onesies, you know.
Nice. Oh, it's
But
a onesie.
the onesie, it's a full onesie. Let me tell you, peeing in this costume is gonna be hard, so. How about you?
I went a little differently. I know this is should be a PG-13 podcast, but I
That's
am
true.
shirtless today.
Yeah,
I have my let me see if you guys can see. Yeah, my Magic Mike costume on.
there we go. He's shirtless, matching my costume.
Magic Mike, got my little tie ready to do some dancing.
You should have just shaved too, though. You should have shaved, man.
That's true. Yeah, I know.
If you
No,
don't
but
pull that shit back
this
out,
is
it's all smooth.
2021, right? 2021, like the girls like the beards these days.
You mean this is COVID, Magic Mike? That's what you're saying. COVID Magic Mike, right?
COVID
Last
Magic
year.
Mike, this is my mask.
All right, Robert, what are you drinking today?
Oh, today we're actually doing a daytime podcast for a change.
I mean,
So
most of the podcast is daytime, you know.
I don't know. If you look at the podcast, it looks like nighttime outside. But yeah, today is a daytime, so I'm going with a little sparkling wine here.
Sparkling wine, nice. What kind is that one?
This is a Brut Classique from Cremant de Limoux.
Nice, that's
Where is this
awesome.
from?
Yeah,
This is France. Oh, it's French.
nice.
It's French, but not champagne. So, you know, it's the good stuff.
Isn't sparkling wine champagne anyway?
No, so
Yeah.
in Europe, the wine is named after the region and not
Okay.
the actual grape. So it's the same grape probably, but
Gotcha.
it's in a different region.
That's cool. All right. I'm sticking to my trend of organic. I got our organic raw kombucha, hibiscus ginger. I'm not sure you can see this.
Oh, the synergy drinks.
The signature drink. Yeah. How do you focus this?
You gotta put it
Let
in
me
front of your
focus.
face, I think. You put it in front of
Front
your
of my,
face.
yeah, in front of my face.
In front. Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
Yeah.
Yeah,
All
there
right.
you go.
Cool.
There we go. You
Yeah.
can see it. There we go. You can see it now. So yeah, I mean, today's Saturday's healthy day, so you know,
Oh,
it's
Saturdays are
okay.
healthy days. So
Yeah.
the other 6 days, you're like.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's catch up there, right?
Usually it's the other way around. You do like
Yeah.
one cheat day. And then the other days are like good, and you're like, oh, Saturday is my
Six cheat
non-cheat
days.
day.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the topic. So we're going to continue with our alternative housing. And today's conversation is going to be about couch surfing and volunteering homelessness. So, meaning, pretty much both of these type of alternate housing is temporary solution, obviously. I mean, unless you could do it forever, but to a certain degree, when we talk about voluntary homelessness, it's pretty much people decide to be homeless if they live in a tent in the street. They pick a nice area and they camp out. Obviously, not every single state allows to do that. Depends on your state law regulations and city regulations. I'm talking about mostly West Coast right now for the time being.
There probably some, mostly San Francisco and LA.
And LA, yeah. San Diego too, there's some too.
Yeah. So. This just seems like, for me, this seems like a non-starter already. But yeah, it's some people have chosen to do it. Some people just like to not have a house and just want to be homeless anyways. Like they just, there's people here in San Francisco who you give them somewhere to sleep. You give them like a hotel room and they won't even take it. They don't want to be involved with the whole thing.
Yeah. But also too, couch surfing is a very international thing. It's a common thing to do. And it's especially internationally, it's more big internationally than locally. So couchsurfing is pretty big. Most what they do is they in exchange what they do to cook food for them, things like that, for 3 to 4 days. Depends on the couchsurfing situation. You know, they do chores and stuff like that. They stay there 3 to 4 days, and obviously if they come visit you, you kind of pay the mutual respect. It's a community.
Oh, so these are people that have houses, and then they're going and staying at other people's houses on their couch
as part of traveling. So it's because let's say that you want to work a year remotely, right? And you don't want to rent hotels, things like that. That's a cheaper way to travel, is that you do couch surfing ahead of time.
Okay. Yeah, so you're planning. Yeah. And is it mostly with friends? Or
it's random strangers. You couch surf with strangers.
Oh, shit.
And then you become friends.
That seems risky as hell.
Well, Orlando's pretty big on that, especially like you look at the website and there is like a lot of openings where people are welcoming people to come and you have a review, right? So therefore you build a reputation whether you're good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you're messy, right, they're gonna, hey, this guy's messy, blah blah blah, you know. So
that's I don't know, it seems seems risky to me. You don't know these people and you're living in the house with them. It seems
but it's a very honest, transparent community. I mean, obviously you may have some bad apples, but I'm just saying, like, at the end of the day, it seems like a very positive experience in general, especially for you to go to somebody else's house. So
you go to someone. Oh, okay. It's like, oh, so people go, like, you go into their house, it's a positive experience most of the time.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
It feels like hostile living to me.
Yeah, kind of to a certain degree. You can ask some of your friends who've done it, to be honest. You know them.
they've stayed at other people's houses?
They hosted them too.
Oh, they've hosted people. Oh my god.
Yeah.
All right. That'll
they went to your high school.
are you on this list? Because we might have to cut this group out. Cut some people out.
Hey, they went to your high school, though.
So. No, I know people who've done it. Yeah. It's not like the worst. I just don't think I could do it.
So you don't think you could host, or you don't think you could stay over?
I don't know. It just seems like strangers, right? So like, I don't think I would do anything like this.
Either
because,
or.
Because it's just like, I don't want a stranger in my house. I also don't, it feels like you're paying these people to stay on their couch, right?
Well, it typically is free. This is called couch surfing. And you do pay them, it's like maybe $20, something like that.
See, like, I feel guilty even crashing at my friend's house on their couch, right? So like, I would feel guilty going to like a complete stranger, not knowing who they were, and like staying at their house for free, and then they cook for you and stuff.
Well, the whole point is that you cook for them, or you clean the place, things like that. That's like a return of favor, you know. So
so like I go there and then I cook for them.
Yeah, and you clean up, you know, whatever it is.
I would feel bad for them having to eat the food that I made. So
yeah, it's okay. You can make ramen. It's okay.
Yeah, it seems. I mean, I can see how that community style living would be. People would like that. Just like makes you feel more like connected with your neighbors and fellow human beings.
It also shows another side of humanity that people are willing to do this. You know what I mean? And it's kind of like you go around the you go across the world, and then someone will host you couch surfing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, isn't that cool?
I've also heard, like, it's also like the similar to how, like, when you have exchange students going across like internationally, and then they stay at these people's houses and stuff.
Host families
and stuff. It's very similar to that. I think it's just it does show like, oh, people do really want to help other people. I don't know if I could do it. I still don't think I could do it.
I don't know. It's one of those things is that it's good for short term. I don't think it's a long term thing. It's good for traveling, especially if you don't want to spend too much money on restaurants, things like that. Like, let's say that you go to a new city, half the time you're just gonna be there to sleep. You're not gonna be there to party and anything like that at all, right? So,
yeah, and you'd have to have a very little on you, maybe just a backpack or a suitcase.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've seen it where, I've done it once only in Europe. It was kind of ran last minute because I couldn't get a hostel, but this was in Austria, and I found it at a total of, hey, I'm brand new, blah, blah, blah. I'll, you know, help out, clean, cook, whatever, stuff like that, and I'll pay you $20, $30 a night.
And the guy paid them.
Well, the guy had a guest room, like a whole guest room to myself instead of couching. So yeah, I paid the guy. I felt bad because he had a whole room thing for me. I talked to him. He's like, he's been doing this for like 5 years. He's like, yeah, he had amazing reviews online. So.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, what's his reputation though? It's nice because now when he travels, people see his profile. He has reputation that he's been hosting.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? Like, so now it becomes more, a bit more, there's more trust behind that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
it'd be cool also to like actually stay with locals and, and then you can get more local experience.
And if you go to a country that doesn't speak the language, you can help you translate.
Oh, that's true.
Austria.
That's true.
Let me tell you, there was no English there.
If they're on the site, then they speak English for sure, right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah,
That is interesting.
It's a whole different experience. Like when I ask him, hey, where should I go? Which kind of food I should eat at what restaurant? Like this guy was ready. He had a book and everything. So
I mean, if he's hosted so many people, he probably has had these questions before, and he's like, "All right, I have my favorite spots. This is where you got to go."
Yeah, here's my FAQ. Read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things though. I mean, it's very different from homeless, volunteering homeless, right? Volunteering homeless is people, I have a couple of friends who worked for Google, and they purposely did not get a place for the first year or so because what Google offered them, showers, gym, food, all they did was get a tent, and that pretty much really it. That's what they did.
And, you know, where did they put their tent?
Near, like 2 blocks away from the office.
2 blocks from the office, wow.
Yeah. Because it was allowed there. The whole street was all tents. Like, you can tell there were not homeless, like official homeless people tent because they're nice tents.
Yeah. I feel like that's when you know there's a problem, when you're like one of the biggest companies in the world, and then your employees are like tenting up across the street from you to go to work. Like you're paying them pretty well, and then they're in a tent across the street. Like things are too expensive at that point.
Especially that area. Like right now, I think the area is like probably $3,000 a month. And I mean, and they didn't drive, so therefore it was worked out nicely for them. They didn't have to worry about finding a car. They didn't have to worry about, you know, things like that. So like everything was there, right, around the corner. They kept the lights simple, and just able to save money for rent for a whole year.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's true. I don't know. There's like even outside of California. I feel like it's hard to do outside of California because the weather here is so nice.
It's so amazing. I don't think you could do that in Arizona or Florida. Yeah,
it's just too hard. Even if you had all like, there are like YMCAs that have like showers and stuff that you can like go to. You can have like a cheap membership and you can be able to use all their amenities and stuff.
I mean, technically you could. Let's say you do that in Florida, you just got to be near a gym and stuff like that to do that. But then I feel like the whole road there was literally like nice tents.
nice tents,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's just...
So they pay a security guard to walk around. So that road contribute to a security guard, 24-hour security guard walking up and down the tents.
Oh, so the people who are staying in the tents are actually paying for a security guard.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. It's only like $5,000 a month for a security guard, but you have 12 tents splitting that.
Yeah, no, I get it. I'm just I didn't know. I was asking, right?
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Smart.
It's interesting. But when you think about homelessness, you also think about the crazy homeless people in San Francisco.
Correct. Who
they're also voluntarily homeless.
That's so true. Well,
we're not gonna say all of them. Some of them are voluntarily homeless. Some of them are homeless because they have like addictions or mental Correct. Illnesses and stuff. Yeah. But there are people who are voluntarily homeless there too. Yeah. And that is not a luxurious lifestyle that they're living.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's different though, right? Obviously. So when I refer voluntarily homeless, I mean like people who actually have a job. Like I remember, I mean, I'm not sure I told the story on the podcast, but I remember going on a date with a girl. I didn't know she was a voluntarily homeless girl, but we both Ubered to this place and we had dinner and everything. I was going to say, hey, you know, my Uber's on the way back to Santa Monica. You know, I know you're near Venice and stuff. So I'll just drop you up an Uber ride, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then, I pull up and then on the left-hand side is really nice townhouses. On the right-hand side, there's a bunch of tents. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, so yeah, here you are. I was looking to the left and she was looking to the right. She's like, this is me here. Like, this is me here. I'm like, oh, okay, nice. Wait, hang on. Let me in my Uber ride. I'm going to come in. I'm like, okay, can I check this out? I want to check this out.
Wow.
She's like, yeah, come in, whatever. We'll have tea, whatever. And so I'm like, yeah, I mean, I need my Uber ride here because I really wanted to check this out. Uh-huh. She had a big ass tent. Let me tell you, like, it's like, and then you walk in on the right hand side, she has a little dresser. She has a queen size bed. On the left side, she
had another, this is a big ass tent.
Yeah, it's like a 12 by 12 tent, literally. And then she had like a small table on the left hand side where like I think it looks like she had a lamp there, LED lamp, and then a kitchenette area ish, kind of a gas stove thing, whatever you call it. And that's pretty much really it. That's all she needed. It. And I asked her what's the rest of the stuff. She's like, oh yeah, it's parked in my car. So she goes to the car to get clothes in the trunk. Mm-hmm. She drives a BMW. And so her BMW is two blocks from the tent.
Wow.
So this girl obviously is not poor and she works for a tech startup too. So, but she, and I asked her, hey, can you explain this to me? She's like, yeah, I already explained this to so many stories to make money. And she was like, I'm going to do this for a year and a half so that way I can collect money. That way I can just rent a place, nice place. And she's like, I by doing this, I'm saving about literally like $2,800 a month, she says. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously, this was like her second year in working. So she was obviously had debt also from school, things like that. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking this up. There's a luxury tent mansions in Skid Row. This looks really nice.
Well, she wasn't not in Skid Row. She was in Venice.
Yeah, but still, like,
This is in Skid Row.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Some of these are actually really nice. This is bigger than, this feels bigger than the tiny
Okay,
homes.
Yeah. So the girl, her tent was probably half of the size, the first picture you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But she that's a king size bed there. She didn't have a king size bed. She had a queen size bed.
These are so, this is like a lot of space. This is like living in a full one bed, like a what? One bedroom out of like a bigger bedroom, right?
She had a smart setup, right? So she had a charge. She had solar power battery packs outside the tent, and each of them was attached to an LED light. And so, therefore, when she came into the tent, she had light at nighttime.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, this is extensive. I did not know these are the type of tent houses you were talking about.
I mean, not this nice though. This girl, they had a night lamp too. Okay, and she had a little dresser thingy, majingy. But this lady
in the video has a legit tent just for a closet. I think this lady, yeah, this it looks like she has multiple tents that's all together. Wow.
Yo, this lady is full out. She has a whole living room of tent stuff. You know?
She's got all kinds of stuff. Yeah, she's got a toilet. Oh, my God.
Welcome to my closet area.
Is this a little pool? She has a pool, too? Man, this lady lives better than a lot of people live.
Holy crap, she's like she took the whole row. She has a microwave and everything.
Yeah. This lady. This
and a
lady,
potty?
This is how you live voluntarily homeless.
She has a disposable potty shower.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was telling you. That is
And the guy has a hoodie that says Skid Row. That looks like a custom hoodie that says Skid Row.
Yeah.
Oh man.
See, this is.
That's tent life.
You know what? Maybe I gotta reconsider tent life. I was thinking people like sleeping on the ground, sleeping in like sleeping bags and stuff.
So LA, average usually you don't count summertime. The temperature is like 81 degrees, 78 degrees, 81 degrees. But summertime is to like sometimes 98, 100 degrees when you're inland. So Skid Row is near down. That's where it gets 90-ish to 100 sometimes. But if you're in Santa Monica, on the west side of the highway, it will never get higher than 88, 87 because of the breeze and stuff like that. And so the closer you are to the ocean. Still
too hot for me.
But it's dry heat. I think
San Francisco is the perfect weather because it's cool. And yeah. Then it never, there's like maybe 2 days out of the year that it gets hot. But then like most of the time it's cool. So you can always put on a blanket and just like warm up with a blanket. And with this setup, seems like they could probably have like one of those fake indoor fireplaces.
With a TV on it?
Yeah, and with a TV on, and like they could, I don't know, this type of setup seems legit. And they could definitely have a heater in there if they need it.
That's funny.
Yeah, so I didn't know this was a life that you could live.
So what are the pros you think by doing that besides saving money?
You're going against the man, okay. And how everyone else is living. I think I don't know. You still get all of the benefits of living in your own place. Just like. You don't have to pay as much.
That's true.
Yeah. It seems, I mean, if you're living like that, if you're living like this lady, then it seems.
That lady has too much stuff. I feel like the point of being a home, volunteering homeless, you're supposed to have minimal stuff.
That's not the point. The point is to not pay for rent. The point is to not pay for rent. It has nothing to do, like, I don't know, like, if it has to do with minimal living, because there's nobody. I don't know. It's not like the tiny house movement where you're like legit, like everything is focused on being minimalistic.
That's true.
I mean, you could have all the shopping carts you want of stuff. I've seen many homeless people with multiple shopping carts. So yeah. I don't think it's about minimalist living.
It kind of forces you into it
yeah. if you have a single tent. But if you have multiple tents, like this lady.
Dude, she literally had a whole row of tents.
The whole place is hers.
I wonder security, how she protects all the stuff with two people.
I don't know. Maybe she's real hood and you don't want to mess with her.
Or maybe she hired a bodyguard.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. Maybe that's what it is. Yeah. Maybe the guy is her bodyguard.
Well, he could be a husband too. Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It's one of those things where obviously that's one of the con in the streets. Like it could be dangerous. So
another con is it's. I feel like it's noisy.
Oh, that's true. It's very noisy.
As much as you have like your own road to yourself, there's gonna be cars. There's gonna be people
cops going around, fire siren coming around,
cops coming around. Yeah, having to deal with like.
People walking,
cops or security people that are walking around like trying to kick you out or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you have to deal with that too much in California, but if you're anywhere else, then you probably have to deal with people who are like, yeah, you need to be off of this land, and then you have to move from place to place.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. but I think on another pro about this is that. It's one of those things that you build community. Probably you get to know everybody there. So everybody knows everybody to a certain degree. So you build a sense of community.
Yeah, I guess that's how all of these alternative living styles are.
Yeah, they know each other. So they help each other out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I don't know. It also depends on the area you're in, right?
Yeah.
If it's all like Google people that are like on this street, you know, everybody's working at Google. Everyone's actually pretty affluent, but don't are frugal.
Yeah.
I also don't think that you can live like this for a long time.
No, very short term, maybe a maximum year for at least. If I were to do this, maybe 3 months, to be honest with you.
3 months?
Yeah.
It's tough, what's the point of doing it for 3 months?
To save 10 grand? Yes, I would do it for 3 months.
You could do that now to save 10 grand. I don't think 10 grand is enough for me to do it.
That's true. Yeah.
Like just for 3 months, like I can understand, like, oh, at the end of a year, you have like 40 grand or something, right?
Yeah.
That seems
more than that, $48,000, yeah.
Somewhere, yeah, yeah, like $50,000. Like, that seems like a lot of money to have saved up.
You could buy a car.
I mean, but she already has a BMW.
Right? Yeah, she does. She did. Yeah. So,
but yeah, like 50 grand is a lot of money. That's a good down payment on a house somewhere, not in house. LA.
Yeah, but, that's true.
But yeah.
But you do it for 2 years, you have a down payment, 2% down payment for a house.
Yeah. So yeah, I can see it if it's like a means to an end.
Yeah, correct. So you're looking, but I mean, if you think about it, though, like, I feel like it's also mentally impactful, health wise and physically too.
Oh, you think this is mentally good for you?
Yes and no. It depends on the person. If you're mentally strong, you'll become a better person out of it. If you're mentally weak, I feel like you will kind of, like, you will dwell on it more.
But so, like, if you're mentally strong, wouldn't you be mentally strong even without this?
No, but you build more character out of it. Like, you, like, it's because, it's like I said, there's a difference between 3 months to a year. I don't think I could do this for a year, to be honest with you. But if I would do the short term, maybe 3 months maximum. Because the lifestyle that I like to live is kind of different. And then people who cannot sustain it for like that period of time, it's just that it's very hard. It also affects your social life to a certain degree too, right? So people prefer image sometimes, you know? So, and especially a relationship. Imagine you telling your girlfriend, hey, I live in a tent.
Yeah, I don't think I would have a girlfriend in my in my homeless time. So I don't know. Like, it wouldn't be the first thing on my mind, right? Like,
but I mean, if she loves you for who you are, that's a good girl to keep, right? She went through she met you when you were homeless, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I might used to do that just to get a girl, but I still have a house. I won't tell her until later.
So you have your tent. So then you always just bring her to the tent, not to the house.
Yeah.
I don't know, though. That's
just to test her the first 2 days. Just test them, you know?
I wonder what kind of girls you would get like that also. Yeah. Like, I know you would get some that would be good people, but there's also some people that are just super low standards. And then I don't know if you want someone with such low standards because they might have other things that affects as well.
I guess it depends on what kind of people you get out of it. Because especially like, I feel like this is actually a good thing, a good weed out. If you're a rich guy and you don't want people to know your money, you just rent a tent out, and then you see just to bring out the first.
I mean, if you're a rich guy, you can rent out a regular apartment too. Like, you don't have to go so low as tent.
No. You have to go so low to see how humble the girl is.
All right.
Fine. You rent a whole row of tent. How about that?
Okay. All right. You rent out this lady's tent setup.
yeah, king size bed and everything, you know.
Man, I guess that's true. I don't know. I don't know.
Well, think about the physical health. You don't know what you can catch too, right? And sometimes when your cars drive around, all the smog probably too. To be honest, you deal with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. I also don't think I would get very good sleep in this because I'm pretty light sleeper. So yeah, with all the noise, I would definitely not have enough sleep, and then that would affect me mentally.
Yeah. I would be paranoid too because about people stealing my shit. So at nighttime, I would always stay like light sleep as well too. So
yeah. Wait, you're saying you would force yourself to be a light sleeper?
Yeah, because I would be paranoid people stealing my shit.
I'm already a light sleeper, so that wouldn't be a problem for me. I don't know if you can change that. What if you're already in REM and someone comes in? There's no way you can like force yourself out of
so I can sleep anywhere, right? Anywhere I want. And so I slept on elevator, I slept on planes, I slept on benches, wineries, you know, anywhere pretty much. But those are light sleep for me though, like, you know, when I'm like not my bed.
Also, if you have such a big tent setup, like the real homeless, the bad homeless people are probably gonna be like, this is where all the shit's at. And then that's where you'll probably be targeted more than if you just had a single tent with I don't know. If you looked more homeless.
Well, that's why you hire a security guard, see?
Ah, see, there you go. Hiring a security guard. Then you could sleep. Then you wouldn't have to like half sleep.
I guess. I mean, it's still tough. It's still tough though, you know. So it's one of those things. Yeah.
Also, how much really like nice stuff are you keeping in a tent versus like, wouldn't you put that in like a, I don't know, like a storage unit or something that you?
Yeah, have? Anything cash related, jewelry, stuff like that. That's about it, right? So
yeah. Besides so the stuff, clothes. So the stuff in the tent probably is not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
And true. That lady, she had like a lot of storage. Like you could go put that in a storage unit.
Like her closet did not have a roof.
Yeah. Her closet didn't have a roof, so if it rains, all of her clothes get wet.
Yeah. Or maybe it was done on purpose. Who knows?
Maybe that's how she washes her clothes.
That's true.
Save money on washing your clothes. Just let it naturally wash.
You get natural clear water, you know?
There
clear
you
water,
go.
So. Let me tell you, it probably rains once a year in LA. That's not how much you wash your clothes.
That's all you need. That's all you need when you're homeless. She has a big enough closet. She might have enough clothes to last her for a few months at least.
That's true. Yeah. No, but I mean, it is an alternative way to live, though. I mean, you can't really bash on it, especially if you're trying to save money. Like, it's such a, and going back to this.
I mean, I think there's other ways to save money.
Not tiny house.
Yeah, but like I don't think this seems like a very extreme way to go save money.
Right? So how else, what would be another alternative housing besides this to save money, like that extreme?
I mean, you could rent a much smaller place, right? Or you could move somewhere that is cheaper to live. Especially if we're working remote. Now people can work anywhere. You can That's go true. Live in Idaho and like very cheap places. And you could probably save, you probably wouldn't save 40 grand, but you might save 30 grand.
Yeah.
So true. I don't know. The
Or go to a college town where you could probably rent an apartment, one bedroom for $600 a month.
That's what I was thinking. I think Idaho, like somewhere where there's no people, probably the rent is super cheap, right? $500-$600.
Go to Gainesville. You got rents for $500.
Yeah. Or you can even go to Florida and just find a place for $1,000. Right, yeah. Like that's not, you'll save like what 20,000.
Well, keep it in mind though, this was even before pre-pandemic though. Think about that, you know what I mean? But nowadays it's different, you know, obviously nowadays it's different. So.
I think
I should text that girl to see how she's doing now.
Text that girl.
Hey, how's your tent doing?
Yeah, so I think there's other ways. This is very extreme. This is for people who. This is probably the people who are like hardcore FIRE as well, where they just they just are looking to save as much money as possible right now. But I don't think the majority of people could live this life.
That's true. I 100% agree on that part.
And I think that goes with a lot of these alternative housing things that we've talked about. Is like, I don't think that there's, that they could, like, that many people could do this, that type of living.
That's true.
Yeah.
And if you do have some kind of like, you know, alternative living like that, like I feel like you have a meets to end type of deals, like your short term goal, like you said.
Yeah. So. There's also we're talking about tent life, right? There's also like people who I've heard of, they've gone to national parks and put up a tent. And then they stay there every night.
Wait, are they allowed them to do that?
I think so. There's tent areas in national parks, right? Where you can like stay for a week or a month or whatever. So then you just have to renew your reservation or whatever.
Wait, and there's permits for that?
I think so. I've heard of it. Like people in San Francisco who go to like the national forest and then they stay in those tents and then they pay nothing.
Are you serious?
And they just drive in, drive out. Yeah. There's no internet, of course. Like that's the downside. Is like when you're at night, there's no real internet. There's no real electricity.
I guess as part of being obviously living in a tent, what are you gonna get the Wi-Fi? Unless you have a hotspot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, think about this.
Electricity in general, right? Like you need to figure out how to get electricity.
Well, a lot of them do have generators too. So.
Right. But I don't know if you can go to like a national forest and like put up a generator for months at a time, right?
Well, also think about this too. Like I know a lot of homeless people have cell phones.
Yeah, I think cell phones easy, right? Because you can get minute plans, like not have to have like a whole like plan with AT&T and stuff. They like get a prepaid plan.
That's true at Walmart, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's how most of them are, like burner phones. But
they have smartphones though. Let me tell you, some of the homeless people.
You can get smartphones on these prepaid plans too. So yeah, I think a lot of them they have that, and even like the real homeless people have.
So when I went to New York City in 2015, that's when they turned on all the Wi-Fi for the whole city, like public Wi-Fi in the subways and everything. I was like, holy crap! Like, you see so many homeless people using smartphones.
Yeah.
And they were plugging against the wall in the subways and stuff, just using internet things like that.
Yeah.
Some of them just camp out, watch a movie all day. So. You would think that those homeless people would learn something on YouTube, right? You want to have Wi-Fi? Mm.
They just got to learn how to make their own drugs, right? Learn all that stuff. Or they could, like, I don't know. I feel like a lot of homeless, they've chosen to be homeless. Or they don't have the mental capacity to, like, get out of where they are.
I mean, I know there are obviously other circumstances where, unfortunately, they get to that situation as well, too, though. So
there's a lot of stuff that's gotten them there. So I don't think that having internet would, like, push a lot of these people out of their lifestyle, even with all the knowledge that's there.
Mm. You know, that's one of my fears, to be homeless.
Oh, is it? It's a big fear of yours?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think you have any. You shouldn't have any real fear of that.
I'm just saying, it's one of my fears. Yeah,
I don't know. I guess that's true.
But then I realized I could survive this. Though I was like, you know what, I could survive this.
Yeah. I guess that's true. I think it was more when I was younger.
That's true.
Like when I was right out of college or wherever, where I didn't have any money, and then. And then, like, every little life thing that happens, you're like, oh, shit, this is like, taken into my money. If a few more of these happen, I might not have rent. I might, it's, like, that type of stuff where you're
well,
like.
So out of college, I didn't have that fear of that. I didn't care if I went broke because I know how to make money. That's the thing. Like, so, like, even though I go broke today to a certain degree, I figured my way out to make money. That's not the issue. It's just that if I'm stuck in it, like in the rut, like I haven't gotten out in like a year, that's what my biggest fear is. Right, I'm homeless.
No, see, my fear is not that. My fear is just my bank account going down to zero, right? And that's what it is. It's not like I'm gonna be homeless because it's not even a big fear because I know I can make money.
I know credit card limits too.
Yeah, whatever. Like it doesn't matter. I could survive. Like I'll go out and like scrub toilets and do whatever I need to make the cash, right? But it's just a fear that my bank account will be zero.
Are you scared of starting over again? Are you, do you have a fear of that?
Starting over?
Let's say today, everything went to zero today. Yeah, nothing. Are you scared?
I don't know. I feel like it's just a personal mental thing that I don't want to be zero.
That you don't want to go through it again, probably.
I don't know if it's like I don't want to go through it again. Nobody wants to go through it, right?
True.
But like, I don't know if I'm scared of that. It's just a fear of that number on my bank account. That's all it is. It's like zero. It's
negative
like,
dollars.
How many dollars do I have? Like, really? Like, yeah. Like that's really the fear. Is that
I'm used to that. So I purposely keep my account checking and do a negative dollar amount sometimes. You know. It's fine.
Negative.
You get used to it. You get used to it. It's fine.
No. But that's not true, right? Because you also have other accounts that are non-zero. I'm just scared that all of my accounts will be zero.
Yeah.
It's also like, I don't know. I have that fear. So like every morning when I wake up, I check all of my accounts.
You check? No, you did not.
I look at every account that I have. Every morning.
I only look one more check-in account. That's what I do. It's the one that I spend. That's it.
It's like an irrational fear that like all of a sudden everything goes to zero.
That's
what I'm saying. But it's just like every morning I'm just like, all right, this account.
You think a homeless person would do that?
No, because I mean, at that point, if I was homeless, all my money would be
cash, right?
Cash, right? So then I would just check my wallet every day. that would be the same thing that I would do, right?
That's true. Yeah. All right. So we're going to conclude this episode and we're going to jump into the extra funny energy session.
Okay.
So, Robert, what do you have for us today?
Since we're doing costumes.
Yep.
I saw this and thought it was funny. I've seen this before too, but I thought it was just too good. This says budget cuts at Disney hits employees hard, and there's a couple guys dressed as Winnie the Pooh and Mickey Mouse that look really sad.
That's hilarious. That is too good.
And these are not great costumes. Like, these guys don't look like it's just, they're just very sad people in costumes.
That is funny as hell. All right, so I have one as Halloween related as well, and it's pretty much it's an image of a squirrel feeder, but had the mask from Scream. It's really funny. So the squirrel goes underneath the bottom of that, and then it looks like he's wearing the mask.
Wait, the squirrel? Oh, sorry, this post has been removed. Oh no, but I can still see the video now. I see.
Wait, why has it been removed? It's kind of weird.
I don't know. It says removed for various reasons. Oh, I see. Oh, the squirrel. That's cute.
Like, it's like using the mask.
They probably have like peanut butter or something in the top to get the squirrel to do this.
It's a squirrel feeder, supposedly. That's why.
Oh, it's a squirrel feeder. Oh, I see.
Yeah. But the only way to go in is go through the bottom.
That is cute.
Imagine a squirrel's like on your window like that with his mask. You don't know any better. That is too funny.
And the mask starts moving. Yeah. Do you have a guest over?
The squirrel gets stuck in the mask.
Yeah.
That is hilarious.
All right. Let's move on to our rant session.
All right. What do you have for us today, Robert?
Today I'm going to send you this picture that I got. I've been getting these emails from Robinhood.
Nice.
No, it's not nice. They keep on sending me this saying, confirm your tax status. And they keep on asking me to update my tax status. And they've confirm said it. This maybe 10 times now. Like every couple days, every few
weeks. Just confirm it, man.
The problem is I have never made a trade on Robinhood because I made an account when it first started, and then I did two-factor authentication, and then I lost my two-factor. Like, it's not the one, it's not the two-factor that's on my phone now. It's a different two-factor. So I can't log into the account. Like, I just can't do it. So I just haven't touched it because I'm like, oh, all right, it's just a dead account. I never put money in. I never put a trade in.
Can you deactivate it?
No, I need to log in to deactivate it.
Can you reset? Can you get another two-factor by emailing the customer service?
Probably, but I'm not even using the account, so I don't give a shit if it's there or not. But they send me this saying to update my stuff, but I've never had a trade. So why would I need to update my tax status if I've never done any transaction with them?
That's true.
Right? Yeah. So, like, they just keep sending me this over and over and over. I'm like, Robinhood, just stop. I don't give a shit. I'm never going to open this account. Like, might as well just cancel the account. Like, I don't even.
You can just email them, tell them to cancel account.
I'm going to email them, tell them to cancel my account. Just like, it's just so annoying that they send this. Every few days, I get That's another funny. Robinhood email saying, hey, confirm your tax status.
Listen, just confirm his tax status.
No, like, fuck you, right? Like, I don't give a shit. Like, I'm not giving you any information about me.
Yeah.
I've never done anything. I've never done any business with you. So what's the point of me confirming tax status if it has no tax implications and I've never done anything, right?
That's pretty funny, though.
It makes no sense. Yeah. So this annoyed me a lot. It is funny, though. Like, what the fuck is Robinhood doing? Like, they're sending a message to every user that they have instead of just the ones.
I want to criteria just filter out how much activity they had last year, you know, before sending that out. It's like one of the criteria. You can tell probably the intern fucked up, something like that.
Somebody in there is just like, you know what? Let's just send it to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Who get, like, we don't need to filter out this list at all. We just send it all millions of our customers. We send them all out. Okay.
All right. My rant is about, so I did a 5K this morning. And, you know, I was pacing myself. I was like, you know what? I'm doing good. You know, I'm going to, you know, speed it up. Mile two, I'm going to speed it up a little bit more. And mile three, I'm going to speed it up.
Wait, how much is a half?
5K.
It's a 5K. Oh, it's a 5K. Okay.
Yeah, it's a 5K, 3.2 miles. And so, you know what? Mile two, I'm going to speed it up. And then mile two, halfway done, I see this mom pushing two kids in a stroller, just blows by me. And I'm like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. I was like, what the heck? And so literally this mom, I'm like, hey, you want to put me in there too? Push me. She looks at me and smiles, keeps running with the kids. Like, she literally, like, she's not jogging. She's sprinting the whole thing.
Uh-huh.
Like, with two kids.
So wait, so this was on mile two.
This is on mile two already.
What did she do in mile one?
I don't know. But I think maybe she had a late start. That's probably what happened. I feel like, but then literally, like,
I'm like, catching, you know, up to like the rest of it.
I guess so, but she just blew by her, but I'm gonna start picking up this pace, you know? Mm-hmm. So I pick up this pace, I'm at mile three, and she's already finished already. And so I never caught up with her. I'm like gassed. I'm like, oh my God, I'm gassed now. But I have 0.1 mile left. I'm like, I gotta push it, you know? But the good thing is that my mile two was better than my mile one, because I was just trying to catch up with that lady.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I had a 0.1 mile left, I ran out of gas as I jogged the 0.1 mile at the end.
Wait, so did that help your time, your, like, final time?
Overall, it helped, but it wasn't my best time. So it helped.
If you had kept your the pace that you were at before you saw the lady, would you have beat your time?
No, it would have been longer.
Oh. So she just helped you.
She did help me.
She tried to get you to a PR.
No, we were looking, like, so people were looking around me. We're looking at each other, like, what the fuck does this lady just did? And she just blew by everybody. Mm-hmm. She's like, zoom.
Wow.
She was doing this. We went with stroller, just pushing the stroller one hand all the time.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, obviously she wasn't shaping herself. Imagine you train with these two kids and now running without two kids. Probably 9 days.
That's true. She's got to push, so there's a little bit of energy that's spent pushing that as well. Yeah. She probably, like, maybe she trains with, like, with weights on her. So that, like, even the stroller is like lighter than
negligible. It's negligible. It's almost become negligible, probably.
Yeah, exactly. So maybe that's what she does. I don't know. I've never ran a 5K. I've never done anything like that. I find it hard to pay people to run. Because that's what like marathons are, 5Ks are. You're paying people to give you a beer at the end sometimes. Like, sometimes you have some.
Oh, yeah. We get a free magic ticket. We got ice creams. We got beer. We got shirts for $40. Yes. Something like that.
Is it worth all the stuff at the end? Is it worth the $40?
I'm trying to figure out how they raise money. How did they raise money for kids?
No. Everything they give is, like, free. Like, it's donations.
Correct.
So, like, they spend no money. They just, like, take money from you.
I guess. I mean, the magic game is $20 automatically worth, you know?
No, but that's, I think, topic. The magic give that to them.
That's true. Yeah.
So then it's like a tax write-off for the magic. So then they're just writing stuff off. And so they, like, the organizers don't really spend anything.
Besides hiring people.
Other than, like, security, probably.
And police.
Like police, that, like, that type of stuff. But that comes out of your $40, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I find it hard to, like, pay someone to go run. When you can just run by yourself, you can make your own course.
Do you run by yourself?
No.
Okay, exactly.
But like, you run without it, right?
I do, but so signing up for a race, it just gives you a short term goal, so that way you have something looking forward towards too. That's mm-hmm. the reason why I do it.
I was thinking, you know what? Maybe I should just start my own fucking race. Those people are, like, for, like, marathons and stuff, they pay hundreds of dollars to
that
stuff.
Will you run your own race, though?
No, I won't run it. I'm here to organize, all right?
Your own race.
I'm here to take your money. And like, I don't know. How many people go in, like, a run like that?
I don't know. I think probably, this was a small one. It's probably maybe 1,000 people.
I think you could probably make, like, $1 million off of a race. for a marathons probably. At least, right?
Probably, yeah. At Disney's like $150, so, and Disney's yeah. always packed.
I feel like you could net a good amount of money on this, even like you give some to charity and make it a charity run. So I was like thinking, I was like, yeah, people love true. To just pay you to run,
to work out.
Why not? Like this seems like easy money.
This is why the gym still opens, right? All the gyms.
That's right. We need to do a podcast on gyms and why gyms yeah. are, how gyms make money.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna conclude this episode. So for those who are listening to us on Google, Apple Podcasts, jump into the YouTube, check out our costume, you know. Yeah. But if you don't have time, leave us a review. Let us know if you do live in a tent volunteering. Let us know how your experience is. Come on the podcast, message us, see if you want to come on. You know,
yeah. Couch give us as well. Give us some of your experiences on couch surfing too. Because yeah. I've never done this other than like staying Mike, over yeah. at Mike's house and sleeping yeah. on his couch or something. That's about the only time.
Actually, Sammy stayed on my couch for 6 months. So
6 months, man.
I think so. Yeah, sorry.
Did he
yeah.
did he cook for you?
He cleaned a little bit. That's about it.
A little bit. Okay. See, so if you guys want, stay over at Mike's place. All you have to do is clean a little bit. Not even clean every day. Just a little bit.
It's okay. My couch surfing profile is off right now. So. But yeah. But if you're watching us YouTube, you know, smash that subscribe button below. You know, like and share our video. Let us, like I said, leave a comment if you want to come on and let us know what other topics you want us to discuss. So
yeah. And if you want to watch any of our other podcasts, you can like listen to all of them on our website, www.gfothoughts.com.
Yeah, check it out. And I guess until next time for another great episode. All right, take it easy.
See ya. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Yeah. Later. Peace.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gluten-Free Organic Thoughts Podcast. If you are watching us on YouTube, please don't forget to subscribe to our channel, like this episode, and leave us a comment. And as always, you can find us on social media at Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at GFOT Thoughts. Until next time, see you then.